Have you already registered for the live recording of episode 200 on November 30th? If not, head over to theeffectivestatistician.com and register there. If you're already on the email list, then good, you'll get that invite. Also, are you early in your career? Are you maybe a student that is more advanced in the career? Then also register for the workshop that we have, the 3-hour interactive fun workshops that we have to boost your career as a statistician on 1st of December. Just head over to the Effective Statistician and register there. And please tell your colleagues about it as well. You're listening to the Effective Statistician podcast, the weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht, Benjamin Pieske and Sam Gardner, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science and serve patients without becoming overwhelmed by work. Today we are talking about the lack of buffer in complex systems and what this has to do with your day-to-day work. Some time ago, I was seeing something about why, train systems break down. And it was from a mathematical perspective, very, very interesting. And there was some further research about it then that was, generally about complex system. And this episode is about this topic because we work in complex system. We can't see what's going on. We can't foresee what will change. There's always something, new coming, there's projects dying, there's updates coming, there's, whatsoever, and, your supervisor might chime in and give you a new task. So we are working in a very, very complex environment. And what does buffer have to do with it? Well, obviously, the more buffer is in the system, the better it works. But do we really plan for it? How much buffer do we need? Stay tuned for these topics to be discussed later on. I'm producing this podcast in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the ever-growing video-on-demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Head over to psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Welcome to another episode. And again, it's with Benjamin. How are you doing?
Very good. Thanks, Alex. So how are you? You have a complex day today?
Actually, at the time, it's not that complex, but usually when we work, there's a lot of kind of shifting things around, isn't it? Kind of you have a couple of different projects, you have, things that move out, things that move in.
Always in.
And usually everything at the same time. Yeah. And then, these people need to go crazy to kind of still meet deadlines and, have work long hours and everything becomes hectic. I was recently talking to someone and she was kind of, it's so hectic. And, but I think if that is done, this database log is done, then it will get better. And I was thinking, didn't you tell me this the last 3 times we talked with each other? It never became really better. You see people in these organizations becoming kind of going crazy because, there's one deadline after the other. There's, one emergency after the other. And people are kind of firefighting all the time. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily firefighting. What I see more as a, let's say, like a constant threat is the complexity of the studies that we are working in. So it is not necessarily that we are not aware of things, or that, I mean, there's often something moving in, as I said, usually moving in rather than out, but, and that again is messing up the whole plan. Because you have usually quite a good plan, and, you know, overlapping maybe responsibilities or studies, and so it fits nicely, and, you know, as long as it fits, you know, there's no need for any support or escalation, and everything is running smoothly. People are busy. It's not that they're not busy, or you know they're getting bored. It's just that they have a plan and everything works. But if one tiny piece falls apart, let it be timelines or maybe something about unexpected data quality issues, anything that's, you know, messing around your plans, it may get, you know, up to firefighting, I agree, but also just purely to unexpected overload in or new tasks coming in that you haven't been planned in. You haven't been thinking about before.
Yeah. And these kind of little changes, if you're, you know, have these complex systems that where everything works at, you know, top speed and things, then, you know, the systems crash. I once had this when I was going to the PSI conference in Amsterdam. And I went by train, and the first train I had 11 minutes delay. You know, not a big thing if you think about, you know, a 3-hour train ride. Yeah. Unfortunately, I only had 10 minutes to switch the trains at that station. So, and then instead of having a 11 minutes delay, I had a 2-hour delay. Yeah, because then I needed to wait for the next train. And so this, if you, something, you know, little goes wrong in complex systems, that can multiply quite a lot.
Yeah, and you know, giving for the example of the trains, it's not that the system ideally doesn't work. So if there's nothing breaking down, if there's no, you know, cow on the tracks or whatever, you know, it's everything is going smoothly, it works. So it's well planned and it's well organized. And it's not that it's probably room for improvement. And, you know, it's always funny if you, for example, go to Switzerland and they start apologizing for a 3-minute delay, where you always think coming from Germany, it's like, why, what exactly are you apologizing for? So it's kind of, you know, it's their different system. It's different, but in generally it works. In general, yeah. But in that case, if it's, you know, 10 minutes, 11 minutes delay by 10 minutes gap that you usually had, it's breaking down.
Yeah, but it's also kind of, if you compare the Swiss train system with the German one is, of course, much more complex.
Yeah.
And so this increase in complexity means that there is much more things that can go wrong. There's just much more kind of rooms for error. Yeah. And for, you know, things like, I don't know, you know, a crash, an accident.
Technical problem.
Technical problem. Yeah. Weather problems. Whatsoever. There's kind of thousand things that can happen. Yeah. And then, you know, these kind of delays add up. Yeah. See, and the same thing happens at work in completely the same way. You know, if you have lots of moving targets and everything, you know, is working together, and, you know, you have these different studies that influence each other, and, you know, the handovers, all the different people working on it, it's such, you know, overall study is complex, and the overall clinical development process is even more complex. So there's lots of moving targets. In terms of the German railway systems. That's actually an interesting thing because there was a mathematician in Germany that looked into these type of complex systems and did more kind of research in it. And he discovered that when you have, you know, a system and you try to kind of get it as efficient as possible, yeah, by, you know, getting the everything kind of to maximum capacity, there is something interesting happens. So that, you know, up to 80%, 85%, you know, small problems don't add up.
They don't interrupt it, yeah.
Yeah. But between 85 and 90%, something interesting happens. Any small problems then directly shoots the capacity of the system beyond 100%. Yeah, because then all these different things add up, like in my, you know, 2-hour delay thing with the ride to Amsterdam. One thing that fits to the next, and you get this kind of domino effect that's not stopped anymore. Yeah. And so same happens at work. If you full plan everybody to full capacity, yeah, you basically need to assume that everything works exactly like you have planned.
Did it ever work exactly like we have planned? And you see where we're getting to.
Yeah, of course, it never works like you planned. Yeah. So there's this famous quote by Moltke, a German general, who said, you know, your plan of attack never survives the first contact with the major force of the enemy. Yeah. Because then always, you know, things change. And so planning is really, really important, but completely kind of be dependent on exactly implementing your plan leads to disaster.
Yeah, and this, you know, you might be wondering why, if you say it adds up and will stress the system and even overcome the capacity of the system. So how do we then actually manage to do it? And you recall that we quite often think about the peaks that in our workload. And so we are in a kind of the lucky position, on, you know, unlike the Deutsche Bahn or, you know, any other train, is that we have overcapacities, natural overcapacities, which is overtime usually, or maybe just, you know, the putting something aside, which is less important for the moment, and saying that is, you know, not as important, so we'll do this next week. And, you know, you see that this is leading to the next problem, but in that's the firefighting activities where we then start. But in reality, we are quite not completely comparable with a barn, with a train, because of the type of capacities that we have flexibility in. However, this is also only like limited, because it's, you know, there's no unlimited overtime or no unlimited peak that we can work on. And everyone is expecting some peaks. So it's nothing that what we are talking about today is nothing surprising. So, I mean, everyone is doing this on a day-to-day business, kind of working on the things. So which may come up with a higher, you know, on a higher peak than expected, or maybe a peak in general. So it's, you know, as you said, it's nice that mathematician proof something at some point, and they might be right, but we all know it already. It's, you know, it's not that, it's nothing. To, yeah. We all know it already.
But you know, the important point here is that we get into trouble if we plan from these kind of deadlines perspective only. Yeah. So kind of, okay, here are the different deadlines. And then we plan our capacity in such a way that we will be able to kind of just in time deliver to all these different deadlines. Yeah. If you think about the Eisenhower matrix of important versus urgent, yeah, you have these four different quadrants: important, but not urgent, urgent, but not important, urgent and important, and so on, yeah? And so, of course, you don't want to, well, you never work in these not urgent, not important things, yeah? If you work only on the things that are important and urgent, yeah, then you'll get into trouble. So I think you need to have kind of the capacity that you work quite a lot in the important, not yet urgent things. Yeah. And if you have that area, then you are in a really, really nice spot. Yeah. And so have an overall plan that works like this. And that also then allows you to, you know, have this buffer, because you have this buffer basically in this urgent, important, not yet urgent things.
Yeah, and I think you also have to convince sometimes people or even companies to think about this system. Because the argument of saying, you know, I plan in the buffer for things that we are not expecting is usually being pushed back and saying, well, I mean, then plan better, you know, plan the unexpected. So because we cannot afford. So if you see that there's, you plan in a gap of a day, everyone is saying, why didn't we the day? We would like to have it one day earlier. You know, it's too important to wait for another day, just in case. And so, you know, come back to the example of the method petition. It is, you know, that's one of the key roles of a statistician in general, to convince non-mathematician of problems that they see and the risks. And yeah. I think that is something we definitely need to pick up at some point and demonstrate, and giving the example of why we need to have this extra day. Or it is just the experience that, you know, we've been through hundreds of studies and trials and deliveries and whatsoever, and none of them you can compare with another. None of them. So it's all different. Yeah. All different challenges. I mean, there are overlaps, obviously, but it's in general, whatever is pushing you back in the delivery, it's something different and you have never experienced before. Otherwise, you would have thought of it. So otherwise, you would have planned it in.
Yeah. And I don't know, that's the nature of our work environment. Yeah, you have always kind of new people joining. You have new study design features. You have new updated processes, or all these kind of other things that can happen. Yeah, like COVID, whatever. Yeah, so there's, just plan for these unexpected things. Yeah. And then if you see that you still have time, you can work on the important, not yet urgent things. Yeah. And that will always help you to kind of get this stress out of the system, and will, you know, make sure that you are satisfied with your work and you have less these heroic, oh, we worked the complete weekend kind of thing to meet the deadline on Monday. Yeah. Which, you know, we shouldn't, you know, actually, you know, honor that. This kind of business. That's actually bad management. If you need to do that on a continuous basis, then it's actually bad management.
Yeah. And also just a tip for proposing this is, you know, to don't do this on an extra single day, to give extra as a buffer. So plan it in every step of the timeline, so it's not very obvious. It may be a day longer, and you know, it also, it's kind of, no, I mean, it's, you know, if you if you plan this too offensive or too open with the buffer, this is always falling back on the study team saying, well, I mean, you are very unorganized if you plan in an extra day, so you should be better organized and plan. So that's why. But be realistic in a way. That is something that it's usually very, very nice and very, you know, I laugh about people, is that they're thinking very positive. And that's including myself. It is really that we think, well, yes, that should be manageable and we'll manage it. Don't worry. So it's kind of, you know, being convinced that you do it. It's no, but you know, just stop here. Yeah. It's a bias, exactly.
That's a bias. That is a clear bias. Yeah, that is, and it's well documented. We always overestimate, you know, how fast we can be, how great we are. Yeah, in the short term. Yeah, in the long term, we usually underestimate. Yeah, so we overestimate what we can do in a day or in a week or things like that. Yeah, we underestimate what we can do in 3 years or 5 years. But as we plan in these days and weeks time frames, yeah, you know, we usually overestimate. Yes, yeah? Look at your to-do list that you've write in the morning. Yeah. Do you always complete it? Yeah. So no. And that's why, you know, went back to, I want to just complete three really main important things to call this day a success. Yeah. Because otherwise you're always depressed.
Yeah.
So plan in your buffer. Yeah. Depending on the system that you work with, you know, if I also worked in systems like with, was it critical chain management, where you actually have buffered and unbuffered timelines. If you need to kind of send back your timelines, do it. Yeah. Because that will help you. And then you can, you know, front load your work and see kind of where you can better manage things around. So that in most of the cases, you don't need to go into this heroic last minute.
And also, I mean, involve your
fighting staff
supervisor. In some cases, but I know that especially in our business, that we don't often get pushback on suggested timelines for whatever reason. So maybe they are unrealistic, but they are sometimes just not understood correctly. And if you need support, you know, talk to your supervisor, get people involved that act as a, I wouldn't even call it escalation, but just first point of escalation outside the study team. So where somebody more objective can give examples or justify timelines or just talk to the client on a different level. And that will help often, you know, not necessarily, but that is something at least where you can work with and get a better, yeah. Don't feel or don't let the pressure of individuals or, you know, these clients or study teams destroy your plans if you plan in a buffer. So if you plan realistic, that's something. I know it's difficult. We are so time-driven and any, you know, all around the pharmaceutical industry with getting medication in a market or a publication out or whatsoever, it's all driven by timelines. So there's a pressure, yeah. No doubt. But still, you know, it's better to have an extra day and make it that extra day rather than, you know, having it a week delay because of unexpected things and then, you know, people not being available in review, et cetera, and really having a big issue.
So I think that was a really, really important episode, and because it's coming up on a continuous basis. Yeah, it's nothing that's going to change. It's, you know, you will always need to fight for it. Yeah, it's not like you once implemented and then it's done. It's something that you need to continuously work on, have in mind, because the pressure will be always there to kind of shorten things. And whenever you plan, you might fall into this cognitive bias of planning for everything moves smoothly, which of course doesn't. So talk to you next time. Have a nice week.
Bye-bye.
This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Rain, who helps with the show in the background. And thank you for listening. Please tell others about this show if you like it. If you found this episode to be something you want to share with others so that they also plan buffer into their projects, into their daily actions, into their monthly actions, then share this episode with others. I would love
to benefit from this learning for as many people as possible. Reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.